Chapter 4. Faithless. Gathering the Lost. The Mistral.
Those were his exact words.
Garrow nodded. The esteemed custodian is not one to leave ambiguity in his statements. Rubio grimaced, turning to glare out of the window of the cabin.
Kararin has no right to give me orders. He's an arrogant martinet.
The same has been said of the warriors of the 13th Legion in the past, offered Garrow. Rubio rounded on him.
But I am not an ultramarine, am I? I'm like you now, knight-errant. A ghost in armor.
True, said Garrow. But for now, stay out of his way. We are called to work with him, so we will. Kararin's personal prejudices will cloud his judgment, so it is important we keep our own focus clear. Returning to the Spartan quarters he and the Codicia had been granted aboard the Nolandia, Garrow had relayed the scope of his conversation with the custodian to Rubio. Like the former Death Guard, Rubio was troubled by what the revelation of the Dagger Line and its ragtag fleet represented. The younger warrior paged through the contents of a data slate, examining sensor reports from the first contact with the refugees.
This matter is more complex than it first appears. Look here. If this data is correct, the refugee ships have far more civilians on board than military personnel. Non-combatants, Garrow. Men and women. Families fleeing the collapse of Imperial rule before the Warmasters advance. These are the people we are oath-sworn to protect.
I do not disagree. But Kararin does not see such delineations. In his eyes, all aboard those ships, whether they be space marines or base humans, are equally dangerous. When Rubio spoke again, he was grim-faced.
Earlier, as I walked the corridors, I overheard members of the Nalandia's bridge crew discussing the mission. At the time, I had no context for their words, but now I do. They spoke of Kararin, of how he has set actions in motion. He has already decided how this mission will play out.
Garrow folded his arms across his chest. Explain. Rubio sighed.
The custodian has placed standing orders with the shipmaster and the gunnery commander. A zero option to be employed if circumstances demand it.
Again, he exceeds his remit. Garrow's jaw hardened.
If the Dagger Line or any other of the refugee ships poses a threat, the Nolandia has been granted authority to destroy it, and every other vessel in the fleet.
That would be a massacre, snapped the legionary. The Nolandia is a Retribution-class battleship, a burner of worlds. A single frigate and a handful of freight barges would stand no chance against it. Garrow's blood ran cold as he remembered his own flight from rebellion aboard the Eisenstein, and the moment his ship fell beneath the shadow of the Great Phalanx. With someone like Kararin in command, he might never have lived to deliver his warning to the Imperium. Could it be that the Council of Terra were so afraid that they would be willing to let the custodian kill 100,000 innocents rather than risk the infiltration of a single spy? The question was chilling. It went against everything in the spirit of the Emperor's bright, shining Imperium. We cannot allow that to happen, said Garrow firmly.
And yet,
Rubio seemed unwilling to say the words.
There is a chance Kararin is right.
A chance, Rubio. Not a certainty. This is the Imperium of Mankind. This is the domain of Sol and the Throne World. We do not take life without cause. We draw the sword in necessity, in truth. We do not kill out of blind fear and prejudice. The Codicia was silent for a long moment before he spoke again.
The rebellion is changing many things.
In the silence of the void, the Nolandia drew to a halt. Station-keeping thrusters firing in great jets to place it abeam of the Dagger Line and the Exile Flotilla. The battleship's cannons swung into ready position with careful menace, dozens of domed turrets drawing clear firing solutions on the leading vessels. As a show of force, it was a theatrical gesture, but nevertheless a serious and uncompromising threat. The refugee ships had been corralled in this same zone of far-orbit space for some time, hemmed in by a cluster of gunship drones that tracked their every move. The arrival of the Nolandia and the aiming of its weapons only served to underline what the fleet captains already knew. For all intents and purposes, they were prisoners. The dagger line drifted off the arrow-sharp bow of the battleship, directly in line of sight to the larger ship's spinal mount Nova cannon. If fired at this range, even a near miss from the Nolandia's main gun would open up the frigate and boil its atmosphere into the dark in a matter of seconds. In return, the dagger line's full complement of weapons would need a warlord's luck just to penetrate the bigger vessel's void shields and strike a palpable hit. In another time, these ships would have welcomed each other as honored comrades. The flotilla afforded escort to home dock. But there was rebellion now, civil war in full effect, and few could draw deep enough to find a fresh wellspring of trust. From the Strategium's vantage point, Kararin studied the loose, poorly ordered clustering of the refugee ships and worked at a small hololith with one gauntleted hand. He considered spreads of fire and torpedo barrage patterns, plotting the most efficient attack models for reducing the other craft to whirling wreckage. With the element of surprise and no unforeseen events, he estimated it could be done in no more than 5 minutes. Kararin did not look up as the grey armoured warriors entered the chamber. He had not summoned them, but neither could he bar them from the command centre. The presence of Garrow and his witch-kin cohort were an impediment the custodian would simply have to endure.
"My lord,"
one of the Nolandia's duty officers dared to raise his voice,
"we are receiving a signal via ship-to-ship Vox. A message from the dagger line. They are hailing us and requesting direct communication."
"No reply," ordered Kararin. "Not yet. Let them wait."
"What purpose will that serve? They've been waiting out here for days," said Rubio. "Is that not long enough?"
Kararin answered without meeting the Psyker's gaze.
"It is important to enforce the lesson of who is in command here."
"That is very true," said Garrow. Then in the next moment, the grey-armoured legionary was barking an order at the man who had spoken.
"You, officer of the Vox, open a channel to the dagger line, now."
Kararin turned sharply, glaring at Garrow as he casually countermanded his orders, but it was too late to stop him. A gruff voice, all hard edges and broken stone, issued out of a brass speaker horn on the console.
"Dagger line hears you, Nolandia. I would say well met, but your gun crews seem to have mistaken us for target drones."
The timbre and set of his words betrayed him. The frigate's commander was undoubtedly a legionary, as few humans would have dared to be so defiant in the face of such superiority. And yet, there was an edge of weariness in him that could not be hidden.
"These are dangerous times," said Garrow. "You will forgive us if we are cautious."
"Cautious, you say? As you wish. Who am I to judge if you feel threatened by a handful of tankers and cargo sloops?"
Garrow smiled at the jibe, although he saw that Kararin found no such amusement in the cynical retort.
"At any rate, we are ready to follow to Terra in your wake, at your convenience."
"I am Nathaniel Garrow. Whom do I address?"
He leaned forwards, peering out at the starship.
"Garrow,"
he heard surprise.
"They said the Typhon killed you."
"I do not meet my end easily."
That earned him a rough chuckle.
"You speak to the poor fool who has become commander of this wayward fleet of the desperate and the weary. I am Mesa Varan, former son of Angron."
"Former?"
echoed Garrow. The reply was rancorous.
"He tried to murder me. I would think that to be full indication that the bonds between my gene father and I are severed."
Garrow gave a quick nod to the Vox officer to mute the signal and glanced at the others.
"You know him?" demanded Kararin. "By reputation," said Garrow. "A company captain with a fearsome battle record. A frequent victor in the gladiatorial pits. A hard fighter, but said to be honourable with it."
Rubio raised an eyebrow.
"A rare accolade for one of Angron's berserkers."
The custodian remained unimpressed.
"I am not interested in his kill count or his laurels."
He glared at the Vox officer and ordered him to resume communications, addressing his next words to the fleet.
"Captain Varan, I am Kararin of the Legio Custodes, leader of this mission.
The Dagger Line and all attached fleet elements are to maintain their position and remain with engines powered down. Disobedience will be met with immediate reprisal. Do you understand? You will not proceed to Terra.
Varen's irritation was plain.
What idiocy is this? You hold us here as if we were enemies? Threaten us?
Garrow stepped forwards, but Kararin was already speaking.
Your status as friend or foe is unclear. The World Eaters have broken with Imperial rule and conspired against their Emperor. Your Legion is in league with the arch-traitor.
Do you think I'm ignorant of that fact?
Baron's voice cracked like a whip.
Why else would we be here? I defied my Primarch to escape the shadow of his treachery. Do you have any understanding of what that means?
It is clear that Varen and his cohorts have endured much to reach Terra,
Garrow broke in.
Something I know only too well. Perhaps if we were to speak face to face, matters will become clearer for all of us.
We could take a shuttlecraft across to the Dagger Line, suggested Rubio.
The offer seemed to mollify the World Eater, at least for the moment.
Agreed. Come look me in the eye, if you dare to call me traitor.
Vox channel has been cut, reported the officer. Kararin fixed Garrow with a hard gaze.
You had no right to make that offer. And you had no right to provoke him.
Garrow's patience with the custodian's intractable manner was thinning by the moment. He took a breath.
But if you fear a trap may await us, you are free to remain on board the Nolandia.
Predictably, Kararin did not react well to the suggestion of weakness on his part.
Very well. Lead the way.
The Aquila shuttle hove through the void barrier across the open moor of the Dagger Line's landing bay, the crackling, energetic membrane holding out the cold kiss of space, keeping the ship's atmosphere in check. Kararin's pilot put the craft down on a vacant platform with swift, practiced ease. Discreetly concealed las cannons twitched beneath the eagle-like wings, tracking the figures gathered on deck below. The drop ramp fell open, and Garrow was first to step down, with Rubio and the custodian a step behind. Heavy shadows grew from all sides. The chilly air of the landing bay was thick with a sense of foreboding. Garrow saw it in the eyes of the crew serfs who clustered on the upper maintenance galleries to watch the arrival, all of them silent and morose. They were afraid of what word was to be brought to them. There could be no one in the refugee fleet who did not fear the choices that distant Terra might make.
Captain Garrow, you don't look like a dead man.
A figure in warplate detached from the cluster of armoured figures and strode towards them.
In many ways, kinsman, I am indeed a ghost.
Garrow kept his arms by his sides, doing his best to project a neutral aspect. Varen looked him up and down as he came closer.
I've never seen armor like yours before. Is that what a ghost wears into battle?
You could say that.
The World Eater seemed amused by his reply. He offered his hand in the old manner of greeting. Garrow accepted it, and they clasped palm to wrist, each meeting the gaze of the other. Varen was every inch a warrior of the 12th Legion. His white and blue power armor was weather-beaten and battle-worn, adorned with oath papers and honor marks alongside savage gouges and impact points that were themselves tributes of a kind. A heavy power sword with a spiked guard lay at his hip, within easy reach. It was a mute warning that he was not to be considered powerless here. The captain's face was like a clenched fist, eyes deep-set and searing. Service studs and victory tattoos warred with lines of old scarring to tell the brutal story of his life. Garrow felt Varen take the measure of him in return, in the long moment before the World Eater released his grip.
How is the leg? I heard you lusted against the war singers. Damned augmetics never feel the same as meat and bone, do they?
That is so, Garrow agreed. But it means I can walk, and if I can walk, I can fight.
And if you can fight, you can win.
Varen nodded towards the others at Garrow's side.
So, who is this?
Brother Rubio is my comrade. You've already spoken to Lord Kararin.
Varen deliberately ignored the custodian, turning his gaze on the Psyker instead.
A second spirit in ghost grey. but I think you are no Death Guard. The mystery deepens.
We both serve Lord Malkador, Rubio said tightly.
And is he the one who has kept us here?
Kararin broke his silence.
There is civil war in progress, wailed Eater. And you wear the colors of the wrong side. Be thankful you were not blown out of space the moment you arrived.
The warrior's dark eyes glittered with anger.
Such gratitude shown towards true sons of the Imperium. Men who refused to follow the path of rebellion, when their battle brothers turned away as one. We kept to our oaths, Custodian. That should count for something.
You would have done the same, had the circumstances been reversed, insisted Kararin.
Varen gave a harsh laugh.
No, I would have just killed you and been done with it.
He turned to Garrow once more, those dark eyes searching for someone he could trust.
Our flight home was hard fought, cousin. I lost many of my best men to Angron's devourers. But we followed your example and made the break.
Garrow took in the other legionaries standing in the shadows nearby.
There were others who joined you.
Aye. More perished than survived.
Baron's face creased in a frown.
A handful of world-eaters, loyalist world-eaters, remain with me aboard this ship.
But Garrow's gen-hanced sight picked out more liveries than just that of the 12th, and Kararin saw it too.
Who else stands with you? Snapped the custodian. I demand you reveal them to us.
Varen glared at Kararin, his lip curling at the command. Then he beckoned them to follow him.
Come meet them then, he muttered. Or remain here and cower by your shuttle, if you suspect this is an ambush.
Rubio had sensed the other legionaries in the chamber from the moment he stepped off the shuttle, their minds guarded like flickering candles shrouded from the wind. He had deliberately kept his psionic abilities dormant, even though part of him longed to return to their full use once again. It was difficult for him to advance slowly back to the power and the might of a Codicia's way, but Garrow had warned him about the custodian's inflexible manner, and to openly display his talents would only add to the tension of the moment. Among the gathering of the refugee space marines, Rubio saw other world-eaters of similar character to their captain, and with them, warriors representing two more of the Legiones Astartes. Varen gestured to the closest of them. The legionaries in finely wrought plate of purple-hued ceramite, detailed with fine gold filigree and handsome artistic flourishes.
This is Rakishio, late of the Third Legion.
The Emperor's children had been declared enemies of the Imperium, but it still seemed strange for Rubio to think of them in that fashion. He had fought alongside Fulgrim's sons in the past, and while they might have been peacocks in manner, they were strong in martial spirit. Rakishio and his battle brothers bowed low, and Rubio saw the places where their purple armor had been badly damaged by bolter fire.
We remain so, said the other warrior.
His voice was at once arch and sorrowful.
To our shame, our Primarch no longer sees the Legion as bearing fealty to Great Terror and his father. We are marked by this betrayal. To our hearts.
Did any other warriors from the Third escape Istvan? Said Garrow.
Captain Saul Tarvitz was an honored friend of mine. Does he live still?
Rakishio shook his head.
I'm afraid I can't say.
The warrior shared a brief look with the world-eater.
Brother Captain Varen offered me and my men a way to avoid the high disgrace of our brethren. We took it. The only other alternative would have been to end our own lives.
That might have been the better choice.
The custodian's hand rested on the hilt of his sentinel blade, in a clear suggestion of forewarning.
The world-eaters and the Emperor's children both declared for Horus, but here we find you claiming otherwise.
Rakishio was about to reply, but others came forward from the shadows to answer for him. What Rubio had first thought to be more of Varen's legionaries instead bore armor of white, trimmed with red. Upon their pauldrons, as stark as blood, was the lightning bolt sigil of the 5th Legion.
You are so quick to judge, Custodian.
Rubio immediately recognized the coarse tones of a Chogorian accent.
Tell us, what judgment do you have for the white scars?
For the first time, Rubio saw something like surprise on Kararin's face. The Riders of the White Scars had always been one of the Emperor's most devoted and loyal legions, and his son, Jagatai Khan, had never once shown anything but unswerving allegiance in his own unpredictable fashion.
"We are all equally loyal," insisted Varun. "We would not be here if that was a lie."
Garrow accepted this with a nod. "How did you come to gather, Captain?" Varun gestured at the walls of the frigate around them.
"Rakishio helped us to secure an escape passage for the Daggerline and a few of the civilian ships. We picked up more refugee craft at the perimeter of the Istvan system."
"The lucky ones,"
Rakishio said, grim-faced.
"Then we set course for the Segmentum Solar. Short transits at first. The warp was so turbulent, we could barely cover a dozen light-years before the storms forced us back into normal space. But then we crossed paths with Hakim and the rest of his warriors."
Varun went on, explaining how Hakim's force had become becalmed and separated from their fleet in the warp. It was only blind chance that had brought them into the path of the Daggerline flotilla. Together, they had charted a new course and made for Terra.
"I have never believed in fates or luck," noted Rakishio. "But if I were to do so, then perhaps such a force put the White Scars before us. Once Hakim granted us the skills of his tech marine, Haruk, we were able to repair critical damage to our navigational systems."
The warrior gestured to one of Hakim's men, who wore the cog and skull sigil of the Legion's technical savants.
"We would not have made it this far without them," concluded Varun.
Rubio saw the custodian's attitude shift as he stepped towards Hakim and held out his arms, inclining his head in the manner of a traditional Chagorian greeting.
"Sayan Banu, Hata Hakim."
Hakim seemed surprised, but responded in kind.
"Sayan."
A smile split his face.
"You know our ways, Lord Kararin."
The custodian nodded.
"I once ran a blood game with the warriors of the Great Khan. I was impressed by the prowess of the White Scars."
Rubio said nothing. It was the first time he had seen the custodian show anything approaching respect for a legionary, but he clearly had good reason. The blood games were an incredible test of a warrior's skill, and those who could participate in them deserved their accolades. Each game took place on Terra, a live exercise designed to test the defenses of the Imperial Palace against assassins. The custodian guard used them to constantly assess their skills and seek out weak points in the Emperor's aegis. Rubio saw Garrow give a solemn nod, seizing on the moment as a way to find common ground for them all.
"Cousins, brothers, whatever circumstances brought us together, we are all in agreement on one point. We stand on the right side of this accursed schism, and no matter what legion insignia we wear, our oath to Terra and the Emperor remains supreme. So, believe me when I say this, the matter of your homecoming will be dealt with in quick order and with surety. Our enemy is out there. Our enemy is the War Master, and in unity we will face him."
"That is all we ask," said Rakishio,
and Rubio did not need to exercise his psionic ability to know that he spoke for all assembled there. The meeting concluded, the Codicia turned back towards the shuttle. He took only a step before, for only the briefest moment, he felt something at the edge of his thoughts, the faintest shimmer of psychic shade, a tone of emotion that could have been untruth. But then it was gone, and they were marching back towards the shuttle. Garrow paced the length of his chambers, deep in thought. No one had spoken on the return trip from the Daggerline, Kararin's stern visage remaining intractable, his thoughts unknown. There were more than enough variables in the situation with the civilian ships and the contingent of world-eaters, but with the addition of two more groups of warriors, one from a legion known to be loyal, another from one known to have turned traitor, the matter had grown to new complexity. A heavy fist knocked twice on his hatch.
"Who seeks me?" asked Garrow.
"It is I."
Rubio's manner was troubled. Garrow bade him enter, and the Codicia came close, speaking in low tones.
"I need to talk to you. I made certain I went unseen. Kararin would doubtless wish to know if we were thought to be conspiring in secret.
He sees sedition everywhere, Garrow noted. But then, that is his remit. He dismissed the thought. On the shuttle, you seemed troubled. What is it, Rubio? The Codicia frowned.
I believe we are being lied to. Aboard the Daggerline, just as we were leaving, I sensed deceit.
From whom? The frown deepened.
I'm not certain. It's been a long time since I was called upon to use my abilities in a subtle manner, Garrow. I'm out of practice. But someone in that room was desperate to hide a vital truth from us.
Do what you can. A strident chime sounded before Garrow could say more. He stiffened, touching the vox link in his gorget. An encrypted message was being transmitted to the machine call module built into his war gear.
What is it? Said Rubio.
Uncertain, said Garrow. Someone is attempting to reach me by breaking into my Legion Voxnet. He gestured to Rubio to remain silent and spoke into the link. Who contacts me? Heavy with static, the growl of the White Scars warrior filtered through.
Captain Garrow, it is I, Hakim. Forgive this clandestine method of communication, but I must converse with you directly. Are you alone?
He gave Rubio a look. We may speak in confidence.
I must warn you, insisted Hakim. Things are not what they seem in the fleet. I contacted you in secret because I believe there are allies of the War Master at large among us.
Garrow felt a chill run through him. Why have you come to me with this, instead of speaking to Kurarin? He heard the scowl in the other warrior's reply.
He may respect my brethren, but he is not of the legions. The custodian will not understand. But you were at Istvan, Garrow. You saw what happened there. You know full well what Horus is capable of. And you know this war is not a matter of black or white.
The White Scar's words were, if anything, an understatement.
Indeed. Go on, kinsman. I believe that Mesa Varan is an honest soul, said Hakim. He is too blunt and forthright to hide any stripe of duplicity. But the World Eater is being duped by Rakishio and the Emperor's children. They are still following Fulgrim's commands. I am certain of it.
Garrow's eyes widened. You have proof of this?
Not enough to take action. They call Rakishio the Shadowed, and he's far too adept at deceit to allow anything to incriminate him. But my brothers and I have been watching the Emperor's children over the course of our voyage. They're planning something. They meet in secret aboard one of the tanker transports in the fleet, the Mistral, and allow no one else aboard it. They call these meetings lodges.
I have heard of such things, Garrow said gravely. The lodges were at the root of Horus's rebellion. Secret gatherings spread from legion to legion, where new oaths could be sworn and the unspoken given voice. Garrow had seen his own warriors drawn into these assemblies, and he knew full well that the War Master had used them to prepare his traitors for their insurrection against the Emperor. Hakim went on.
Rakishio and his legionaries have been acting suspiciously since we arrived in the system. I fear that they may act soon unless we move to prevent them.
There was a moment of silence, and then Hakim spoke again.
I must end this conversation. Be on your guard, Garrow.
Can it be so?
Muttered Rubio. The White Scar's words were deeply disturbing. If such a thing was happening among the refugees, if Kurarin were to learn of it. Garrow had no doubt that the custodian would use this revelation as a pretext for the most ruthless actions, and fate take whomever was caught in the crossfire. This is a matter for caution, he said, thinking aloud. Rubio's gaze turned inwards, considering.
We have to take control of this, and soon. Every moment we delay the refugee ships out here, lives are under threat. I reviewed the data captures from the flotilla. The civilians and crew serfs aboard are malnourished and sickly, their supplies depleted in their escape. If we do nothing, innocents will perish.
Garrow eyed him. And if we go forth with gun drawn and blade high, Kararin may show some esteem to the white scars, but his finger lays heavily upon the trigger. He will be quick to kill, innocence or not. In his eyes, a perceived threat to the Emperor will excuse even the most extreme of deeds. But then, as if mere mention of his name were enough to summon him like a creature of mythology, the Nalandia's intercom crackled, and the custodian's harsh snarl sounded through the ship.
Garrow, Rubio, report immediately to the Strategium.
What now?
Rubio muttered.
Did he intercept Hakim's transmission?
Whatever the cause, Garrow told him, it will not bode well. They entered the compartment to find Kararin barking orders to the Nalandia's weapons crew, jabbing his gold-armored finger towards the flotilla rendered in the hololithic tank.
All gunnery crews are to remain at action stations until the order to stand down is given, he growled. They will stay at their posts around the clock. We cannot allow our attention to slip. The danger remains.
Garrow approached him, eyes hard. Explain yourself, custodian. Why does the Nalandia remain on combat alert?
Officer of the Vox, stand by to transmit by machine call and hololith. I want every last vessel in that flotilla to hear my words. No exceptions.
Kararin gave the order and then turned to Garrow.
Pay attention, Death Guard. These words are for you as well as those refugees.
And Hakim?
Asked Rubio.
The white scars will see the necessity of my orders, said the custodian.
The Vox officer nodded to him, and Kararin took a breath.
Attention, vessels of the Daggerline flotilla!
Garrow glanced at the Strategium's great window ports, and beyond it the loose grouping of the refugee starships. The tension of the last few hours was suddenly pulled tight, close to breaking point.
All fleet ships will stand by to accept search operations, said Kararin. Boarding parties will be dispatched from the Nalandia to each vessel in turn to conduct deck-by-deck surveys. Only after these searches have been completed will your ships be permitted to cross the outer marker into the system.
Rubio shook his head.
It will take weeks to search every ship from bow to stern. Those people don't have that much time.
Kararin's commands continued.
This order is mandatory and cannot be refused. Any resistance will be met by lethal force. Operations will commence in 3 hours, Terran standard. Nolandia out!
Garrow turned on the custodian, his jaw set.
Is this your plan, then? To keep these people out here until they starve to death? And thus let the problem remove itself? If they wish to request aid supplies, they may do so. And if your heart bleeds so much, Garrow, you and your psyker are welcome to go and fetch those supplies for them.
Kararin turned away.
Those are the lives of the Emperor's subjects you dismiss so easily.
The custodian gave him a sideways glance.
Their lives are not my concern. Security is my concern. The protection of my Emperor and his throne. All else is of secondary importance.
The Vox officer looked up from his console.
Lords, there is an incoming hail from the Daggerline.
Rubio looked at the custodian.
I imagine Captain Varen will not be silent on this.
Kararin directed his reply to the crewman.
I have no desire to speak with him. Hail denied.
Garrow leaned closer, his voice low and cold, meeting Kararin's stony gaze. What you have done will sow panic and fear amongst the civilians.
These are not soldiers who will salute and say nothing. They are common people, terrified and at their wits' end. If you give them no choice, they will react poorly.
His words fell on stony ground.
You are here because I decided to keep you informed, not because I want your counsel. Don't presume to tell me how to prosecute this mission.
Anger blazed in Garrow's eyes at the custodian's intransigence, but any retort died before he could give it voice, as an alert siren cut through the air.
What now? Shouted Kararin. Report!
Rubio stood over the hololithic scope.
Scry sensors detect a power surge aboard one of the ships in the flotilla. Engines are going active. A single vessel is moving out of the formation. Velocity increasing.
His expression hardened, and he turned to Garrow.
It's the tanker. The Mistral. Show me.
snapped Garrow. The hololith shifted to a view of the vessel. Burning sun-bright, the drive nozzles of the tanker transport flared as it powered away from the flotilla. The Mistral was an ugly ship, heavy in girth and rounded. It resembled a giant artillery shell, pockmarked by docking ports and vent hatches. It was easily the mass of an Imperial frigate, but it wallowed into its turns, lacking the nimble motions of a warship.
"The vessel's command deck does not answer," said the Vox officer.
Garrow strode to the great windows at the fore of the Strategium in time to see the Mistral surge forwards into the first sheets of beamfire from the drone gunnery platforms. The tanker took blows that ripped into her feeble void shields, but it showed no signs of reducing speed. If anything, the attack seemed to goad the crew into pouring more power to the engines in the wild hope of punching through the defense barrage. Below, lined up along the Nalandia's dorsal hull, the warship's multiple cannon turrets turned with lethal ease, shifting to place the fleeing vessel in their kill zone. Garrow spun, calling out, "Kararin, no!" The custodian pushed past Rubio and strode across the Strategium to the gunnery master's station. Surveying the weapons display, he stabbed a finger at the icon representing the Mistral.
"I want a firing solution on that craft. Prepare a full las barrage. Engage at point-blank range."
"Custodian, wait!"
Garrow came across the chamber at a pace, his hand raised. Kararin's expression was carved from stone.
"The orders were quite clear, Garrow. That ship is an open defiance of lawful commands. Its intentions are unknown. It is moving onto a course directly towards the core planets and Terra."
"Damn you!"
spat Garrow, and the legionary stepped away, activating his voxlink, opening a channel to the fleeing vessel.
"Mistral, this is Battle Captain Nathaniel Garrow. Halt, or you will be destroyed. You must cut your engines now."
Instinctively, Rubio reached out with an invisible tendril of psionic presence, grasping through the void towards the fleeing craft, in the hope of sensing some shade of emotion from those on board. Something was there, but it was sickly, ink dark, and repellent. Rubio's breath caught in his throat.
"On the ship."
His voice dropped to a whisper, so only Garrow could hear him.
"There's a presence over there, dark and lethal. Hiding itself. Hiding from me."
Across the compartment, Kararin called out his final commands.
"Target is locked. Charge the guns."
"Mistral, if you can hear me, turn back."
Garrow tried one last time to reach someone on the tanker. But it was already too late. The custodian gave the order to open fire, and the backwash of livid laser light flooded the Strategium with the color of blood.